Stand with me if you're able all over this house. We're going to turn to the word of the Lord. Excited. Amen. To be in the house of the Lord today. Excited about all of our visitors. Amen. In this place today. Excited about the growth of the church. The harvest, the great harvest of souls that we're seeing in these last days. Amen. And I'm excited to be a part of this end time revival. Can you shout yes? And turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them with you today, to the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading verse 1 through 6. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 6. I didn't come to wow you today. I didn't come to bring some new doctrine to you today. I came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to give you what God has given me this week. Amen. Because I know that's what the Lord wants me to do. 1 John, the 4th chapter. If you don't have your Bibles, the text is provided for you on the screens behind me. If you need a Bible, please see me. And we'll make sure you have a Bible before you leave this place today. We want every home to have the Word of God in it. Amen. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit, the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." The 4th verse says, "Ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you." My God, about 5 people heard what I said. I'm going to have to read it one more time to you. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." My God. "They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Jesus came in the flesh to save us. And not just to save us, but to sustain us. To sustain us, to give us the power to overcome the world that we live in. Church, greater is he that is in you. And I want to preach for just the next few moments on this very simple topic. Greater. 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 Somebody shout greater. Greater. Somebody shout greater. Greater. Somebody shout greater like you mean it today. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and give him praise all over this house together before we're seated today, for our visitors, for the presence of the Lord, for his provision in our life. He's greater today. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of all of our praise today. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today for the next few moments. Greater. Man, what a wonderful presence of the Lord we have felt in this place today. I want to speak to you today about greater. You can take greater and go so many different ways with the word greater. John Newton was a slave trader who was converted to Christianity. John Newton is also the man who wrote the old hymn, Amazing Grace. You would never think that the song that you sing in this sanctuary was written by a slave trader. But he wasn't just a slave trader, he was a converted slave trader. Amen. And John Newton was the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. And in Newton's last years, he struggled with severe dementia. Those that knew John Newton, those that watched him in his last few years and who witnessed his cognitive decline, said that there were two things that John Newton remembered vividly, Brother Bo, and he would never forget. Two things. Two things that he would never forget. Two things that no matter when they asked him, he would always remember. Two things. He was a great sinner, and Christ was a great Savior. No matter what his cognitive decline was, no matter how bad his memory got, no matter how much his dementia troubled him, he could always tell you, I was a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. Can I tell you today that Jesus is the only constant in our lives today? Jesus is the only thing that is greater in our lives today. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. God lived among us in flesh as Jesus Christ. Few believe that he was who he said he was because they could not grasp the idea that a loving God would ever leave behind the safety and the splendor of heaven for the dangers of a reckless earth. When he tells us that he understands what we are going through, can I tell you, he understands what we're going through. Yeah, he does. When he says he understands what we're going through, he truly understands what we're going through because he's already been there and he's already went through it too. The shortest verse in the Bible is St. John, the 11th chapter and the 35th verse. It simply and shortly says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why would this simple fact of Jesus crying over the death of his friend Lazarus make it into the pages of the engrafted Word of God? Because it gives us a window. It gives us a glimpse through which we can see the nature of our God today. What separates Jesus from the rest of the other gods that people serve is that he has the ability to love. Yeah. He has the ability to love today. He loves us. And we serve a God today that has compassion for all people. Can you say amen? That love is what led him to Calvary. That love is what led him to be mocked, to be beaten, and to be betrayed. That love led him to be the sacrifice for our sins. Church, there is no greater topic to be discussed than the man Christ Jesus. Thousands of years have been spent discussing the man Christ Jesus. Thousands of years have been spent. Council after council have convened. Book after book has been written to try and explain this man from Galilee. But no matter how hard they try to understand him, no matter how hard they try to describe him and explain him, he's still greater. Your words, you can't say them good enough to explain who he is today. No matter how great, no matter how much we, how hard we work at it, we can never explain just how great he is today. Some have tried to call him just a good man, but he was more than a man. Some have tried to call him a good rabbi, but he was more than a teacher. The Bible teaches us that he was God manifest in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world and he was received up into glory. Hallelujah. That's why no description you can ever give him will ever be enough. He's still greater. He's still greater today. He will be greater than any description you could ever give of him. At the moment of his birth, everything changed. Nothing would ever be the same. And at the moment of your spiritual birth, when you are baptized into Christ and you have put on Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. Your life will never be the same. Because he that is greater steps into you. Greatness moves up on you. And no longer will you have to live in turmoil. And chaos and confusion are no longer your normal. You can know who God is today. You can know how God loves today. And you can be the recipient of God's promises today. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him some praise. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord can become your strength today. Confusion can give way to clarity. Joy and peace in the Holy Ghost can become your new normal. People have normalized depression and anxiety. Let me tell you something. You can have a new normal. I mean, remember when COVID came along, they kept talking about this new normal. Let me tell you something. I already got a new normal. I got clarity. I got joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's my new normal. I gave up depression. I gave up anxiety. I gave up confusion. I gave up being put down and stepped on and walked on by the world. I gave up giving in to the devil, and I accepted my new normal as being empowered with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and fire. Why? Because he's greater today. He's greater than anything you could ever go through. He's not some distant God who lives somewhere in the space of eternity and is not mindful of what you're going through today. He is not some distant God who has no regard for your life and your troubles and all that you're going through today. No, sir, no, ma'am. He cares deeply for every detail of your life. He cares deeply for every decision you make in your life. He cares deeply for his creation today. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But our God was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet he was without sin. He was without sin. Let me tell you something today, church. He's not a God of empty wells today. You're not serving a God who don't have no resources today. Come on, you're not serving a God of empty wells today. Our God rises above the shallow waters of redundant religiosity today. Our God rises above the normal, the all of the chaos and the craziness of the world that we live in today. He is the way, the truth, and the life today. He is the God of truth today. He's the Lord of glory today. He's the great I am today. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the will in the middle of the will. Everything revolves around him. He's high and he's lifted up. He sits high and he still looks low. He doesn't forget about us where we're at. He doesn't forget about us when we're going through what we're going through. He doesn't forget about us when we're struggling in our minds and in our hearts and in our marriages and in our homes. God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly what you're going through. He's not some distant God that's way off in space today and doesn't care about what you're going through. Somebody shout greater. Greater. He sits high and he looks low. He's great and he desires to be great in us. He desires, church, to be great in us. He's greater than your problems are. He's greater than your shortcomings are. He's greater than your past. He's greater than what hurts you. He's greater than what troubles you. He's greater than what seeks to destroy you. He's greater. Come on, he's indescribable. His greatness is without measure today. His love has no limits today. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life today. He still loves you. It doesn't matter how many times you failed him today. He's still married to the backslider. Our God is greater. He has no limitations today to his love. Our God is greater. He knows no limits today. There's no length that he won't travel to get you. There's no length that he won't travel to get you. There's no depth that he won't go to save you. And there's no height that he's not able to raise you. My God, he can pick you up out of your lowest valley today and set you up on your highest mountain. I've been doing this long enough. I have watched lives totally transformed before my very own eyes. I have seen people come into the house of God and their marriage was in shambles and God turned their family life around. I have seen people come into the house of God and they were bound by addiction and alcoholism and God set them free and they turned their lives around. I've seen people that was addicted to pornography, but the Lord set them free and turned their lives around. I've seen people that was troubled by anxiety and depression, but they found something greater in their life today. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord if you believe he's greater today. Somebody shout greater. Somebody shout greater. Tell your neighbor, he's greater. He's greater than all of your problems. He's greater than all of your circumstances. He's greater than all of your confusion today. He's God and God alone. His name is great and greatly to be praised. He's greater. He's greater. The Bible says that Jesus, as he walked upon the face of the earth and uses the terminology that he increased in wisdom. Increased in wisdom. When I read that this week, Sister Vic, I thought, my God, how can the great God of glory, who knows everything there is to know, need to increase in wisdom? But in his humanity, can you shout yes? In his humanity, he set the precedent for us to grow. Yeah, he did. Can I tell you, can I get a little pastoral for just a second? Tell you, God don't ever intend on you staying right where you're at. No. No, God, no, you come into the house of God and you're a babe in Christ, but God don't intend for you to stay a babe in Christ. Come on, you come into the house of God and you're drinking milk for your sustenance, but God don't intend for you to keep milk as your sustenance. No, God wants you to graduate. God wants you to grow. God wants you to develop. God wants you to get strong in your life. God wants you to become greater because he is greater. He is greater today. So he set the precedent for us in our earthly lives and in our humanity for us to grow and for us to develop and for us to increase in wisdom. In his humanity, he set the precedent for us to grow. He was determined to grow. How many know we must be determined to grow? Let me tell you something. Growth is not something that happens on its own. If it was, I'd have got straight A's in school. We ain't even going to talk about that. If growth was something that happened on its own, you wouldn't have to work at anything. But can I tell this church today, growth don't happen on its own. Growth is something that you got to be determined to do. Growth is something that you got to give yourself to. Growth is something that we are designed by God Himself to do. That's why Jesus in His humanity increased in wisdom, and He made up in His mind that in His humanity He was going to grow. He was setting the precedent for us. We start out as a child. And then I always love watching these children worship the Lord. Man, I tell you what, they may put some of you adults to shame. My God. When He said you'll be led by a child, He meant it. He meant, I watch these little kids, they got no reservation. They don't care if they're looking goofy. You all sitting back there, I don't want to look goofy. I don't want these people to think I don't care if you think I'm crazy or not. Guess what I'm here to do? I'm here to break chains in my life. I'm here to surrender myself to my higher power. I'm here to give myself to God. I'm here to cast my cares upon Him because He cared for me first. I'm here to grow because He's greater today. And in Him, I can be greater today. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give Him praise. And shout out of your mouth, greater. He's greater today. Growth don't happen on its own. You got to be determined to grow. Paul said it like this. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Man, did Paul beat us up sometimes. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But listen to what Paul said. One day I had to grow up. One day I became a man, Brother Brandon, and I had to put away all those childish things. I had to stop getting offended over every stupid little thing. I had to stop whining and crying because somebody's playing with my toy. Huh? I put away those childish things, and I stopped letting the devil detour me with everything that he wants to put in front of my life. You got to make up in your mind today you are determined to grow in Christ Jesus. You got to make up your mind today that you're going to grow. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but one day I became a man and I had to put away childish things. Church, you were designed to grow. There's nothing in you that was designed to stay where you are. You ever seen somebody that you know, Sister Diane, that you said, my God, they ain't never going to grow up. I said that about half of y'all. Not you, Brother Teddy. Not you, Brother Teddy. How many times you looked at somebody and said, man, they ain't never going to grow up. They ain't never going to. Let me tell you something. God never designed you. You are not designed to stay where you are at. Huh? You cannot stay where you're at. You're going to grow whether you want to or not. The question is your desires going to grow with you? You can grow and grow in the wrong way. How many know overeating will cause you to grow? Overeating will cause you to grow, but it'll cause you to grow in the wrong way, right? We were never designed to stay right where we're at. The Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom. He intends for us to increase in wisdom. In all of our getting, we are to get understanding and to get wisdom. God wants us to grow. Why do we gather in here every Sunday in this sanctuary and lift our hands to the Lord and jump up and down like a bunch of crazy folk? Why? Because we come into the house of God hoping that He will change us and make us better than we were. We want to grow. We are designed to grow today. Let me tell you something. I hope and pray today that you allow the kingdom of God to challenge you to grow. Because a church that don't challenge you is not a church you need to be in. A church that don't challenge you, a church that don't cause you to feel conviction in your life, a church where the Holy Ghost ain't speaking to you and saying, you know you should not be doing that. You know that's not the will of God for your life. You know you shouldn't be living that way. If you're in that kind of mess right now, you need to get out of it and you need to get somewhere where God can challenge you to be greater today. Somebody shout greater, greater. He's greater today. And he wants to be greater in us today. God did not design us to stay where we are at. We need to allow the kingdom of God to challenge us to grow. Man, I had teachers in my life who pushed me. Anybody have a teacher who pushed them? They always let you know, I see something different in you. I'm pushing you because I know you can do better. How many know the Lord is the ultimate rabbi? The Lord is the ultimate teacher. Nobody wiser, nobody greater. Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever walk upon the face of the earth, was an ignoramus compared to our God today. Nobody has compared to him. And let me tell you something. He is the greatest rabbi man has ever known today. And he did not design you to stay where you're at. He designed you to grow. Let the kingdom of God challenge you today to grow. Jesus increased in wisdom. Jesus wants us to increase in wisdom. Church, he came in the flesh to give us power to overcome this world that we're living in. In the Roman Empire, crucifixion was reserved for the worst of criminals. It was not something that everyday Joes had to go through. Crucifixion was reserved for the worst of criminals. It was in this culture, it was during this time, it was in this barbaric time frame that Jesus chose to come. He chose to come. He chose to come during the barbaric rule of the Roman Empire. You know why? Because his death is greater than a crucifixion. His death is greater than a crucifixion. His death was more than an execution. His death was about carrying and overcoming and wiping away the sins of the world. That's what his death was about today. His death was about carrying the punishment that was designed for you and for me. Even in his death, he was greater. He was greater. Your God is greater today. Your God wants you to be greater today. Let the kingdom of God challenge you. Let the kingdom of God inspire you. Let the kingdom of God push you and propel you into your hour of greatness. God has designed you to grow. God has designed you to develop and to grow. As the musicians come quickly. You know, fear of failure stops people from being what they want to be. How many had dreams and aspirations? Things in your life you wanted to accomplish, but fear of failure got in your way. You ain't got to raise your hand. It's almost everybody in this room. Fear of failure will stop you from doing what you want to do. Fear of failure will stop you from being what you desire to be. Can I tell you, it's not that different. In fact, it's all the same is true in the kingdom of God today. Your fear of failure will stop you from being what God wants you to be. It will. It'll stop you from being what God wants you to be. The same is true in the kingdom of God. Jesus gave his disciples. I want you to get this down in your soul today, if you stand with me today. I want you to get this down in your soul today. Jesus gave his disciples a promise. And this is what he said. He gave them a promise that greater things would they do even than what he did in his earthly ministry. I want that to sink into the mind and the heart of every child of God under the sound of my voice today. He said, greater things shall you, Sister Wanda. Greater things shall you, Brother Josh. Greater things shall you, Sister Betsy. Greater things shall you, Brother Peter, do than even what he did in his earthly ministry. That tells you just how much confidence God has in his creation. Let me tell you this. God will always do what he does. The challenge is always in our humanity. The challenge is always in our flesh. If we will make up our minds today that we are not going to stay where we are at. If we'll make up in our minds today that we will follow the example of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he increased in wisdom. That's why I show up here every Tuesday regardless of what preacher's preaching. That's why I show up here every Sunday regardless of what teacher's teaching. That's why I show up at Bible study on Wednesday nights, because I know that I need to increase in wisdom. And God did not design me to stay where I'm at. He designed me to grow. He designed me to be a vessel that he can work greatly through. He designed you to be the same.